In your Bibles, please turn to the book of 1 John, the second chapter. 1 John chapter 2, we'll be reading the first six verses, and in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1322. We'll read the first six verses responsibly, the second chapter of 1 John, and let's all please stand for the reading of this passage of Scripture. The very first verse is the text verse. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the word love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And let's pray.
I beg you to listen very, very carefully this morning. This is not the kind of message that you can turn on and off during the sermon. In fact, if you get off in a car, you will not find a place to get back on. But if you listen carefully, I will graphically explain to you what the Bible means when it says, we have an advocate with the Father. I want to speak this morning on that subject, an advocate with the Father. Now this morning, we will not shop in the clothing department or other practical sections of the store. We shall go into the little delicate place where the expensive crystal is shown and shall be not practical, but we shall examine the riches of the jewelry department. This morning we shall not drive or take a truck and go to the industrial district to load the truck. You'll get in a beautiful limousine this morning and drive out in the lovely neighborhoods of the city, and we shall see the loveliness of suburbia. This morning, we will not wear our work clothes. We shall wear our Sunday best. And this morning, I will not grip the handle of humor in an effort to build this sermon or obtain your attention. I shall ask you now to listen carefully as I try to explain to you graphically what the Bible means when it says we have an advocate with the Father. One of the most amazing scriptures. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, he falls from grace. No. If any man sin, he's no longer a Christian. No. If any man sin, we, Paul includes himself here because he realized he too was capable of sin. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I plead with you, not for my sake, but for your sake, because the meal this morning will not be served in courses. It is a one-food meal, and if you do not begin to eat it first, you will miss the entire meal. An advocate with the Father. It is judgment time. It is that day when all of God's people shall be judged. Night cometh at noontime. The stars appear at midday. The hands of the universe have suddenly become palsied. The rivers have lost their way in their search for the oceans. The earth yawns with an intruding quake. Mountains steeve on each other's slopes. The moon blushes and the sun's breaker is tripped. Overripe stars fall to the earth as untimely figs would exit the tree. The clouds
past eagles in their harried flight. It is judgment time. The judge of all the universe is sitting on his throne. Suddenly, the Almighty rises from his throne and declares that time is no longer. Continents of dead spring to their feet. The author leaves his quill. The painter drops his brush. The mason loses his trowel. The woodman dismisses his axe. The housewife departs her kitchen. The judge divorces his bench. The surgeon flees his scaffold. The archangel's trumpet encores until all have obeyed the call of God. This is judgment time. This is the time of which preachers have preached. This is the time that people have dreaded. This is the time when time shall no longer be. It's judgment time. And suddenly, my name is called. And I stand before that judgment seat as I have often realized I would. And stand I must. And stand you must. You have an appointment with judgment. The Bible says it is appointed the man wants to die, and after death, the judgment. And you will keep that appointment. You will not escape. You will not be tardy. You'll be on time, and you'll be there, and your name will be called. And suddenly, as I, in my prophetic view, see the judgment time, my name is called. And I hear the indictment read against me. And what an indictment it is. It is an indictment of 10 counts, all of which I have broken. For the Bible says, if you've been guilty in one breakage of the law, you've been guilty of breaking all of the law. And then after the judge has conclusively proved, heard my indictments, then he reminds me, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Again, the wages of sin is death. Again, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I'd rather you wouldn't write while I'm preaching. I want you to look at me now. You can write later. I want you to hear me now. This is the time you're going to keep. I said you are going to keep this time. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who's ever lived or ever will live is someday going to face his Maker. And my time has come. And I stand before him. And the indictments are read. And the judge looks at me and asks me the sober question. Jack Hiles, do you plead guilty or do you plead not guilty? And just about the time I begin to plead my own righteousness, I'm reminded of this verse. There's none righteous, no, not one. And this one, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this one, our righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. And I have to fall, throw myself at his feet and say, O thou the judge of all the universe, guilty! I'm guilty! I have nothing on which to stand. I have broken the divine law. I'm guilty of all 10 indictments. I have sinned, and I stand guilty before the judgment of my God. My accuser rises to plead damages. The accuser says, have those eyes seen things they should not have seen? And I admit, these eyes during my days on earth have looked at things that they should not have viewed. And my accuser says, have your ears heard things they should not have heard? And I have to plead guilty. There have been times when these ears have listened to things they should not have listened. And the accuser says, have your hands done things they should not have done? And once again, I plead guilty before the judgment bar of God as I suggest these hands have done things they should not have done. The accuser points to my feet and says, with the smell of hell still on his body, and with his forked tail, as it were, He says, have your feet trod paths they should not have trodden. And I stand condemned again and admit my guilt. Yes, I say, Your Honor, the accuser is right. My eyes have seen things wrong to see. My ears have heard things wrong to hear. My hands have done things wrong to do. My feet have trod paths wrong to tread. I have done wrong. And he says, has not your tongue spoken things it should not have spoken? Again, I plead guilty. Hast not thou been proud when thou shouldst have been humble? Again, I admit my pride. Hast thou not faltered when you should have stood? And I admit my guilt. Hast thou not lied when you should have spoken truth? Yes, you're right, I said the accuser and the judge. My tongue is lied when it should have spoken truth. Hast thou not slept when thou should have been working? And I admit there have been times I slept when I should have been working. Hast thou not made vows thou didst not keep? Didst thou not converse with those to whom you never spoke of Christ? Hast thou not eaten while others starved? Hast thou not warmed while others froze? Hast thou not wasted while others did without? Didst thou not, did thy temper not boil unduly? Were you not often inconsistent in your testimony? Hast thou not slept when you should have been prayed? Hast thou not often grazed outside the pasture of my word? Hast thou not sometimes hated when you should have loved and kept when you should have given? And I, like every single person in this room, one day will stand condemned before God Almighty. The pronouncement shall be guilty! Guilty! Yes, I'm guilty. My eyes have not done those things that would warrant heaven. My lips have not spoken words that would deserve heaven. My hands have not done deeds that would deserve heaven. My feet have not taken any places that would deserve heaven. My heart has not had thoughts that would deserve heaven. My mind has not dwelt on things that would deserve heaven. My best is bad. My best day was a bad day. My whitest is black. My lightest is dark. My highest is low. My most healthy is sick. My strongest is weak. My greatest is small. I fall short as I stand before God Almighty, realizing that compared to the purity of God and the purity of that throne and the example of Jesus Christ, I look at the evil one who is my accuser and say, You're right. I am guilty. And I look at the judge and I say, Your Royal Highness, I have done nothing to deserve heaven. I have tried to do right. I have tried to live right. I have tried to be right. I've tried to talk right. I've tried to think right. I've tried to hear right. I've tried to do right. But I failed. I've miserably failed. The things that I would have done, I did not always do. The things that I would not have done, I sometimes did. A thousand times I've failed to do that which I should have done. A thousand times I've done that which I should not have done. And I am guilty. I'm guilty. I have no right to stand on my own goodness and my own righteousness. I stand condemned. And then the accuser calls a witness to the stand. The witness sets on the stand. And the accuser, the prosecuting attorney, Lucifer, Satan, Beelzebub, the devil himself. He points toward the accuser and says, Give your name, please. And the answer comes, I am Hiles' guardian angel. And the accuser says, What do you know about Jack Hiles? Here sits the judge of all the universe. Here I sit trembling on the seat, and here my accuser sits, indicting me. And here comes a witness. And the witness says, I know him well. I am his guardian angel. I have guarded him as a child. I protected him as a youth. I covered him as an adult. I have protected him with these wings that I now lift before you. I have watched him with these several eyes. I have led him beside the still waters. I have misdirected the assassin's bullet. I kept him awake at the wheel by night. I snatched him again and again from the angel of death. I encamped round about him while he slept at night. I delivered him from the noise of pestilence. I spared him from the snare of the fowler. I strengthened him while he preached. I slept with him in many a lonely motel room. I've eaten with him in many lonely restaurants. I have doused the fire of airplane engines. I have parted clouds, dispelled fogs, and changed winds. I have sat on automobile fenders and on jet wings. He has not been one second without me since 1937 when he received Christ as his Savior. Yes, I know him well. I know him as well as anybody has known him. It has been my job to be his guardian angel through all these years. And then I wipe perspiration from my brow and say, I feel much better now. My guardian angel is here to testify. And the accuser asks, did you ever notice his eyes watching what they should not have watched? Oh, my. Oh, my. And my guardian angel says, yes, often I've seen him see things he shouldn't have seen.
Did you, his guardian angel, who have witnessed him by day, witnessed him by night, you've seen everything he's done, heard everything he said, you have watched him by moment, moment by moment for these years. Did you ever see him hear that which he should not have heard?
Yes, says my angel. I have seen him hear that which he should not have heard.
Have you seen his hands do that what they should not have done?
Yes, I must admit, if I lied about it, I would lose my wings and not have a right to be an angel again anymore. I've seen him do things with his hands he should not have done.
Have you, says the accuser, have you seen him walk fast? He should not have walked.
Yes, says the guardian angel. Oftentimes I've seen him do wrong. I've seen him think things he shouldn't have thought. I've seen him with bitterness he shouldn't have known. I've seen him walk paths he shouldn't tread. I've seen him take things that were not his own. I've seen him say things that were not true. I've been with him. I have to say, in order to be a just angel, I've seen him. Oh, my. Oh, my. I feel so condemned. I feel so dirty. With my goodness like filthy rags. And my righteousness suddenly becoming unrighteousness. And my good becoming bad. And my high becoming low. And my white becoming black. And my right becoming wrong. I stand condemned. And so are you. There is not a person in this room who will ever hear God say, enter the joy of the Lord. Because of your goodness, not a single person in this room. The best you've done is bad. The best that you've had is not good enough. The best deeds you've committed is not good enough. The best thoughts you've had are not good enough. The best alms you've given are not good enough. The most sacrificial day was not sacrificial enough. Your best day was too bad. You cannot do anything in the flesh. It'll cause you to deserve to go to heaven. Oh, my. Oh, my. The accuser looks with his snarled teeth and in his wicked grin and with his chuckle, and he looks at me and says, I bring the next witness before the throne. And there sits the Father, the judge. And here I sit. Take him. Condemned by the angel that's protected me through these years. Condemned by the angel that's kept me alive for these 53 years. Condemned by him who knew me best. Condemned by him who walked with me. Condemned by him whose wings protected me. Condemned by him who camped around about me, who never slumbered nor slept, and yet he stands at the judgment and has to be honest and say, he's guilty. Then the accuser, the prosecutor says, I call another witness to the stand. You promised to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. I do. Give your name, please. My name is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, says the accuser, what do you know about Hiles?
What do you know about Hiles?
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit says, I moved in 42 years ago to live with him. I've lived with him for 42 years. I've seen everything he's ever done. I've heard every word he's ever said. I've seen every movement of every finger on each hand. I've seen his feet as they've walked. I've seen the pathway he's trod. I know him. I comforted him when his father left home. I fed him and clothed him in depression days. I stood beside him when he was at his father's casket. I taught him at his mother's knees. I warned him about wrong and instructed him about right. I advised him what he should do and cheered him when he was sad. I held his hand on lonely nights. I filled him with power on his daddy's grave. I led him to five churches as he sought my leadership. I empowered him as he preached. I taught him all he knows about the Bible. I prayed for him when he could not speak. I empowered him when temptation came. I strengthened him when he was too weak to work. I, too, have flown many a mile with him. I, too, have shared many a meal with him. I, too, have slept many a night in a lonely motel with him. I also experienced the thrill of flying over 3 million miles with him. Oh, yes. I know him well. I know him well. I've lived with him for 42 years. The accuser says, has he ever grieved you? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He often grieved me. He didn't want to. He didn't. He was sincere.
I didn't ask if he was sincere. Has he ever broken your law?
Sure. He's broken my law, but he didn't mean to. I know him well. He tried to do right.
I didn't ask if he tried to do right. I said, did he do right?
No. No, he sometimes grieves me. Did he ever quench you? Yes. I told him sometimes to do things he didn't do, but he wanted to do something. He didn't mean to.
I didn't ask if he meant. I asked, did he ever quench you?
Yes.
Yes, he quenched me. Yes, he did.
Yes, yes, there were times I let him do things and he didn't do them. There were times he grieved me. Yes.
Did he ever resist you?
Look, I'm his friend. I picked him up when he was fallen. I've strengthened him when he was weak. I've empowered him when he preached. I've been his friend.
And he's tried to serve me. He has. I ask you, did he ever resist you?
Yes. There were times when I knew what he should do, and he didn't do it. There were times he did wrong. Yes, he did resist me. Is what the angel said about him true? Have you ever heard him say a bad word? Yes, he didn't want to, but he did.
Have you ever seen him do things he shouldn't have done? Yes, I did. I've seen his hand perform deeds they shouldn't have done, but they didn't want to. Have you ever seen his feet trod an evil path? Yes, I have. Have you ever heard him say things he shouldn't have said? Yes, I have. Have you ever heard him hear things he shouldn't have heard? Yes, I have. Have you ever known him to have bitterness in his heart he shouldn't have had? Yes, I have. Have you known him to think things he shouldn't have thought? Yes, I have. Have you known him to have jealousy? Yes, I have. Have you known him to have envy? Yes, I have. Have you known him to have hatred? Yes, I have.
Oh, my. The accuser says, the prosecutor arrests this case. Oh, my. Oh, I feel so hopeless.
I'm standing before God. This is the day when I'm standing before God. Mountains have become valleys, and valleys have become mountains, and rivers have widened to oceans, and oceans have narrowed to rivers, and lakes have become ponds, and ponds have become mighty lakes. And God is on his throne I'm standing before.
The judge says, are you listening? The judge says, is there a counsel for the defense? Oh my. Won't somebody plead the case?
Is there a counsel for the defense?
A hush fills the courtroom. And all of a sudden, wait, I see one slowly rising. His eyes are moist with tears. Blood is dripping from his hands. I see a scar in his side and scars in his hands and feet. And he stands. He's a young man, about 33 years of old age, I think. He begins to speak. Your Honor, he quietly says, look at this hand and notice its scar. Look at this hand and notice its scar. Look at this foot and notice the scar. And look at this foot and notice the scar. By these wounds, Your Honor, I plead his parents. Because of the humiliation of Bethlehem and the groanings of Gethsemane and the sufferings of Calvary, Your Honor, on the basis of the blood dripping from these hands, I demand that Jack Hiles go free. On this arm, he's leaned. And by these stripes, he was healed. When he was sick and weak, he fled to this breast. And on my righteousness, Your Honor, he trusted. I wore his crown of thorns, Your Honor, put on him a crown of life. I wore a dirty garment, Your Honor, now place on him the robe of righteousness. I drank the dregs of sin, Your Honor. Now give him the living water. I died, Your Honor. Now let him live. I reigned on a cross. Put him on a throne. I dipped my soul into hell. Now you take his soul into heaven. I walk the path of Calvary, Your Honor. He has a right to walk the streets of gold. Honor. He did sin. I, with his angel, heard him speak things he should not have said. I, like the Holy Spirit, know that he heard things he shouldn't have heard. I, like these witnesses, realize he's done things he shouldn't have done and thought things he shouldn't have thought. I, more than anybody else, know the awfulness of his sin. But, Your Honor, I stood before you, if you'll recall, 2,000 years ago in his place. Now, Your Honor, I am his advocate. I demand his release. There's silence. There's a holy hush. The judge contemplates. And then he slowly rises. Angels still their wings. Seraphim! Hush their voices. Cherubim! Silence their praises. Heaven! Stops its rejoicing as the Father stands. He begins to speak. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I jump to my feet and hug the feet of the scarred Savior. I kiss his hand, put my head on his breast, and I sing, the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, all hell should endeavor to shake. I'll never, no never, no never forsake. And that's what the Bible means when it says, we have an advocate with the Father. He wants to cover you with that blood this morning. He wants to put you under the canopy of His salvation this morning. He wants those bloody hands to be in place of your hands. He wants those bloody feet and that wounded side to substitute for your wounds. He wants to heal you by His stripes and save you by His grace. He wants to be your advocate. And all you have to... You say, what church do I join? It doesn't matter. You say, what kind of baptism? That isn't it. You say, what kind of life do I live? That isn't it. You say, what do I quit? What do I start? That isn't it. You just come to Jesus and say, take my case. Take my case. Years ago, down in Georgia, I guess it must have been a dozen years ago, maybe, down in Georgia, some little hoodlums decided to drain the gasoline out of some church buses in a Georgia church. The pastor of the church who had been sick of it took off after them, tried to catch them. He shouldn't have done it, made a mistake. But in so doing, they started a gang war. And one of them killed another one. So the story is told. And a wicked man decided he'd blame the pastor of that church on the murder. They went to court and gave that pastor 14 years for manslaughter. Innocent as he could be. I heard about it. I went to my office and picked up the telephone and called person to person to F. Lee Bailey in Boston, Massachusetts. To my complete surprise, I got Mr. F. Lee Bailey on the telephone. And I said, Mr. Bailey, what would it cost me to hire you to plead a case for a preacher who's been accused of murder, wrongly accused of murder? Mr. Bailey said, it'll cost you $15,000 plus expenses. It'll run over $22,000. And I said, Mr. Bailey, would you take the case? One day in a little Georgia courtroom, a little town in Georgia, just a tiny town, no one knew that F. Lee Bailey was on the case. Little old judge stood up there, never tried anything more probably than a parking ticket. Attorney stood up there to take care of the appeal and try to end a little country type of prosecuting attorney. And all of a sudden, the door opened and he walked Lee Bailey. Wow. The judge almost fainted. The little prosecuting attorney was stricken with palsy. The little old country courtroom, and the great F. Lee Bailey walked in. F. Lee Bailey stood and defended that preacher. And the little old country lawyer tried to prosecute him. We spent over $22,000 to defend that preacher. When the case was over, the judge said, I pronounce the preacher guilty. Guilty. But we hired F. Lee Bailey. We hired the best defense attorney in the world. But when I stand before the court and the doors are open, and the nail-scarred hands of Jesus pushed him open, and my accuser sees the blood dripping, he says, that's the only thing I can stand up under. My attorney will never lose a case. We have an advocate with the Father. So may you. Our heaven.